Because we want to talk about the second mission, should you accept it. You see, the first was what we shared this morning, to be involved in winning people who are lost, sharing the good news with people who need to hear. And that isn't Mike Story's responsibility. That isn't Max Barnett's responsibility. It is, but it's not just ours. It's yours. Every one of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ have been commissioned, called, given power, empowered, instructed to, and sent out to be those who win the lost. If you're not doing it, who will? But the days in which we live are troubled times. Some of you sitting here tonight, you've built fences around your heart, you've been fences around your life. You've got a lot of wounds and you've got a lot of heartache in your past. Maybe you came out of a broken home that was unresolved, and all you still have is the pain and the brokenness of that unresolved, broken relationship. Maybe somehow in a very wrong way you blame yourself for your parents' breakup. Maybe you're a young lady that's here tonight and your parents broke up and the boyfriend your mother brought home took advantage of you in sexual ways, in emotional ways, in physical ways. Maybe you're a young man that when that person came to your house, he used you as a punching bag. Or maybe you just didn't know who was going to show up, when they were going to show up. Or maybe there's just wounds in your life that along the way you were used as a verbal beating post, and your mother or father, because they were verbally maligned and they were verbally cut down on a regular basis, they didn't know any other way to address you but the same way, and that was to just completely strip you down of every sense of dignity and worth with words. And there's some of you here tonight, and you know Christ, and you know what it is to be a Christian, and you know what it is to be forgiven, yet you carry this shroud of secrecy around you. Maybe you come from an alcoholic home or a drug addict home, the dysfunction of this kind of substance abuse, and you don't want anybody to come to your home because you're afraid what they'll find when they get there. And so you live with this cloud of shame, hidden, disguised, put in the back so no one will deal with it. There was a time about 26 years ago when I would work with guys. They may have come out of a certain field of certain sin or these kind of things, but I didn't worry about dysfunctions too much. If I could just get them memorizing verses, if I could just get them having a daily quiet time, if I could just get them sharing their testimony out on the streets, everything would be fine. But I realized along the way that everything isn't just fine. Because what I've discovered is this: if we're not going to be committed to winning, but the next mission that I'm going to challenge you to take, should you accept this mission, is to be a healer. If you accept this mission, it is messy, it isn't clean, it isn't comfortable, and sometimes it's hard, and it never comes at convenient times. Maybe you're dating a guy, and you don't understand his struggle because since he was 6 years old, he was addicted to pornography. And you don't understand the power of that in his life. And you think that when you get married, this problem will just go away. It won't. Maybe you were sexually abused as a girl when you were little, and you've buried it and you think you're over it, but when you get married, all of a sudden you discover, though you're a Christian and though you know forgiveness and though you know what it is to walk with Christ, those skeletons in your closet begin to creep out. Am I making sense what I'm talking about? And so what we want to talk tonight about is you accepting the mission to be a healer. Because what I've discovered in the church I pastor, and our church is not abnormal, we're very normal. Probably 60% of the women in our church have suffered some type of traumatic abuse. I don't mean their dad raised their voice. I mean they were either beat up or sexually or emotionally abused. A high percentage of our men grew up estranged from a father, never ever getting stroked by their dad, never knowing what it was to have the favor of a father towards a son. Some of them grew up with an overbearing mother who did nothing but belittle them as men, and so now they struggle with their male identity. They're not sure. It's a cloudy issue, and it's like a haze before their eyes. And maybe that's many of you. Because I want to say this before we pray. You can't be involved in the mission of healing until you allow God to do the healing in your own heart. How long does the healing take? As long as necessary. How long does it take for God's grace? You see, He's already perfected you. He's already forgiven you. He's already set you free. But sometimes it takes a lot of time for us to come to grips with it, doesn't it? Now, I'm going to tell you where it's going to spring up. Someday, most of you, not all of you, some of you will choose a single path. But most of you will choose a path of marriage. And those wounds will resurface there. Those fears will crop up there. The rage. And see, some of you have issues of rage and anger that come up at the most ridiculous, inappropriate times. And there's no reason for it. I can tell you the reason is unresolved issues. That though you're under the blood of Christ, you've never been healed of those issues. And God wants you to be in this mission of healing. And the person who is most appropriate to heal is someone who has been healed. Does that make sense? I can't help someone with a problem if I haven't been able to be healed of my own. I can't tell someone, it's like, how can I tell you how to know Jesus Christ if I personally don't know Jesus Christ? How can I show you how to have a quiet time if I myself don't have a quiet time? How can I tell you how to do a Bible study if I don't do Bible study? How can I tell you how to be free in Jesus if I'm not free in Jesus? How can I tell you to be whole in Christ if I'm not whole in Christ? And that's what we want to talk about. And then what I want us to do in our little time of decision is that some of you may need to let Jesus Christ begin really healing you up. Letting go of some of the angst that you have and the pain that you have and some of the issues of the past. And let me say this to you right up front. You cannot change your past. You cannot go back in time and undo it. Does that make sense? But you can choose the outcome of your future. If Christ has set you free, stand fast therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. If Christ has set you free, Galatians tells us. Father, my prayer tonight is that you speak clearly through me. That God, I would not in any way grieve your word, quench your spirit, or do anything, Father, that would diminish or take away from what you want to take place tonight. Lord God, I know that there are so many people in this room who are free in Jesus. They are free, free, free. The past is gone under the blood, and they walk as free men and women set by the grace of Jesus Christ and by His love. And that's how they walk. But I also know there's some others that wear the same smile, that say the same words, but locked within them is shame and hurt and pain that is unresolved. And they're crying for wholeness. And they want to be like their friend who's free. They want to be like the one who is able to take biblical principles and just march forward. But for whatever reason, they cannot. What I pray is tonight, Lord Jesus, you will serve as their guide and set them free from the wounds of their past so they can be those who set others free from the wounds of their past. Because, Lord God, you know what a wounded world we live in. And yet you've set us as lights, cities on a hill. You've set us as salt to bind wounds, salt to make a difference. You've set us as messengers of hope, heralds of good news. But God, we can't be healers if we're not healed. So Father, I pray that you will speak through me. Hide me behind the cross. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I also want to challenge you to something. You've heard Dr. Tomlinson, and his situation is a whole lot different than mine because all he did is give you the scriptures. And I'm giving you scriptures and a lot of my opinion. I hope you know the difference between my opinion and my theology and what the scripture says. So you need to be Acts 17:11 Christians. These Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so when you hear something from me, what I challenge you to do is this. Don't take it just because Mike Story's saying it. Go home and look up at the scriptures and see if the principles that I'm sharing with you are there in the Word of God. And if they're in the Word of God, and that's what the Word of God is implying and teaching and shouting at you, just do it. Does that make sense? 2 Corinthians, first chapter. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 3. He is the source of every mercy, and the God who comforts us. I'm reading on the Living Bible translation, and I'll go ahead and tell you why I do. So many people in the church I pastor are new baby Christians. I want to give them tools in their hands they understand. In 1971, when I got right with the Lord, the only other translation that was available was the King James, and I had trouble with foreign languages. And so I had a Living Bible paraphrase, and I found out later that that wasn't even a Bible, but I praise God I had it, because it was a life preserver for me, because it made sense to me. I could read the Bible, and it was written in terms that I could comprehend. So I use the Living Bible translation, which means it's official, legitimate, authoritative, right on, dude. It means you can use it with confidence, and I use it because so many of the people in our body called Community of Grace are babies, novices in the faith, beginning the journey, and I don't want them to miss anything along the way. And I know this isn't appropriate for some of y'all because you're way down the road, but bear with my trite way of thinking. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. You who have got the pain of a heinous past, you that have come through wounds of a family, you that have gone through all kinds of unspeakable evil. And yet now you know that Christ has forgiven you because you came to that place, you confessed your sin. And you know what's so sad about some of these grievous wounds? You go to God and you ask God to forgive you for something that you didn't do. You're asking God to forgive you for something that was done to you. And the reason it doesn't go away is you haven't done anything. Does that make sense? And yet, oh creepy, the devil, he wants you to feel miserable and filthy and dirty. He wants you to feel unacceptable. He wants you to feel that you will never measure up because look what happened to you when you were 10. Look what happened to you when you were 6. Look what you did when you were 16 years old. And he wants you never to feel worthy. Well, the only reason you're worthy has nothing to do with anything like that. It has to do that Jesus says you're forgiven. Where are those who now condemn you? Neither do I. Go and sin no more. You're my daughter. You're my son. And he reaches down and he picks us up and he helps us along the way. You have value and you have worth in the kingdom of God because he forgives us. We read on. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Let me interject a story interpolation here. When you have received that healing from God, you're able to help others with the same healing that God has given you. Because see, that's what it can mean to me. If I've seen someone who's been hurting in a certain way, and I have a family over here that's hurting in the same way, the best person to help them isn't always old story. It's that family, it's that man, that woman who can relate to their pain. Does this make sense? And that's all he's saying here. We can comfort one another with the same comfort we received from God who met us at the point of our woundedness, our brokenness, our sinfulness, our need. And now we can take that same healing that God's given us, that same comfort, and take it to people who are in the same place we were at. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Look, if you would, to the 12th chapter of the same book. And I love this passage of Scripture, starting with verse 8. Three times I besought the Lord about this, that He would remove it from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. But look at the Living Bible says, my gracious favor. There are some of you here that carry an enormous amount of guilt. You carry, and you know what? You're too young to carry the guilt you're carrying. You haven't lived long enough to carry the huge amounts of this unresolvable guilt that doesn't seem to dissipate, doesn't seem to go away. And yet, listen to what he's saying. Three times, now see, he wasn't dealing with guilt, but we have no idea what Paul had gone through here. Something really was something he wanted out of his life. Maybe you wish that had never happened. Maybe you wish in a different circumstance than Paul's circumstance. Maybe you wish you could go back and undo what a stepfather did or an uncle did or a brother did. Maybe you wish you could go back and undo what a dad did to you. Maybe you wish you could go back and undo what that person did to you when they deeply wounded your heart. Well, Paul had this wound, and his wasn't like it. It was a different nature, we believe. But I want you to hear what Jesus said to him. My grace, my favor is all you need. You see, my gracious favor is all you need. All you need to be set free from the bondage of your guilt, the bondage of your pain, the bondage of that thing, that wound, that thing that has hamstrung you, is to understand God's grace. That God wants you to understand you can be freed. Free. In Evangelism Explosion, we define grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. In that movie, The Passion of the Christ, you know what I really loved the most about the movie? Was every time Jesus saw someone who had denied Him or failed Him, the way He looked at them. Can I tell you, He looks at you with loving eyes. Can I tell you, He looks at you with forgiveness? Can I tell you, He looks at you with liberty? That false guilt, that false burden you're bearing, that pain that you're carrying that is not even yours, but has been dumped on you by someone. You see, I've known abused women. I had a 40-year-old woman when I left the church I pastored in Tulsa, Oklahoma, told me just before I left, and she made me swear not to tell her husband. She said, I was sexually abused over and over and over again by my dad. And for 40 years, I've told no one. You're the first person I've ever told. And you know what this woman suffered from? Phantom heart disease. Phantom all kinds of phobias. It has crippled her life. Crippled her. And the church I pastor now, I see people filled with all kinds of fears and phobias and all kinds of conditions, all kinds of mental issues in their life. And I can promise you that the root of it was they never came to the place where they could understand God's grace was sufficient to set them free. And they could be healed from it. Now, they may have needed a lot of help along the way, but they never got it. They said, Lord Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. You died for my sins. I confess You as my Lord and Savior. I trust You for eternity, and I believe You're it. Amen. And yet the wound was still there. But everything they needed to be set free was also there in the sufficiency of God's grace. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. You've come from a heinous past. You know people. Let me just put it this way. How many of you know someone that's got a heinous past that you know personally? That's almost every one of us in here. Do you know they need to know that God's grace can carry them through with their weakness? And their weakness can be a strength when His grace is poured on it. He goes on and says this, since I know it is all for Christ's good, I'm quite content with my weaknesses, my insults, my hardships, persecutions and calamities. Now he's talking about suffering for the cause of Jesus. I'm talking about the suffering some of you have that Jesus wants to set you free from. Three things I want to talk about this evening very quickly. I got this watch, so I want to make sure I don't go too late. We want to be punctual. And it's this. The depth of God's grace, the depth of God's forgiveness is deeper than the deepest wound. And if you accept this mission, you first of all must accept it for your own heart. That the depth of God's grace and God's forgiveness is deeper than the deepest wound. Now you can understand that word. You can hear those words being spoken. And that's good to understand it. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? I'm a choleric. That may not mean something to some people. In the Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTJ. And what that means, without Jesus, I'm a Till of the Hun. And when I got right with the Lord, I just accepted, I'm forgiven. My past is my past. I am under the blood. Now, God brought some people to my mind I had to go ask forgiveness of. But I had never been abused. I knew my daddy loved me. I knew my mother loved me. I would have my mother read the Bible to us every day, and I hated it. And my mother, when I was a young teenage boy living like a reprobate, would pray for me every night I would go out and pray that I would come back and not do anything to disharm or hurt anyone else. And I grew up in that kind of loving home. Now, my dad was gone all the time. He was in the oil patch, and I didn't know how abnormal that was. I thought it was normal that you only saw your dad 4 to 5 days a month. Because that's all I ever did, so I thought that was normal. And I realized Dad never went to any sports I played. Dad never saw anything I was a part of. He was never a part of my life. And I realized the hardness of my own dad's life. But I'm grateful for those things. And I'm not a person who ever blamed my mom or dad for anything. But you see, I knew I was loved by my mom and dad. I knew that they cared for me. They wanted me. I was their delivery. They protected us children and their family. But I also know that some of you I'm speaking to didn't have that reality. Some of you women, when you hear the word loving father, that puts cold chills down your spine because the only father you ever knew was abusive. Some of you guys, when you hear the word forgiving father, all you knew was vengeance and anger and wrath. That's all you knew. But I want you to hear clearly about the sufficiency of God's grace that we read in the text and hear it again. God's grace, the depth of God's grace is deeper than your deepest wound. Three things here. There's no sin ever known to humankind. No sin ever known to humankind that God through His grace was not able to cleanse and forgive. Maybe you're here and you just feel you've done so many heinous things, so many bad things. Maybe your woundedness were self-inflicted. Maybe you were just a sexual object. If it was out there to try it, you tried it. You did it, you tried it, you tried it, you did it. You tried it, you tried it, you did it. And now you're a walking wound with guilt from things you have done. God wants you to understand you can't commit enough sins that His grace is not able to forgive you of and cleanse you of. When you confess your sins, if you really meant that with a broken heart and a sincere spirit, I want you to know He meant what He said. He would forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I stand before you as a forgiven man. I stand before you as a man being perfected. I'm already perfect because Christ is in me and He who is in me is perfect. But I'm being perfected every day, transformed more and more, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so are you if you know Him. There is no wound which is different than a sin. There is no wound so grievous, so devastating that God is not able to heal and make whole again. I shared this with some guys at lunch, and what I'm about to share with you is gross. Just thought I'd see if you're alert. When I was in junior high, I was playing football, and we were running bleachers up and down the bleachers, and the high school team was running behind us. And I was slow and little. And a big old high school guy came up behind me and bumped me, and I hit the corner of the bleachers. And it ripped my shin open, and I had to get 16 stitches. Went to the doctor and sewed me up. He said, come back in 5 days, we'll look at it. I went back in 5 days, and he was drunk. And he took the stitches out. And so the wound that had been sutured closed went like this. Now, 16 stitches would hold a pretty good cut together. And he had to dig it out because it was full of splinters and things. So now I had this hole that just opened up. But you know what the hole wanted to do? It wanted to scab over. So my mother took me to my pediatrician. And now I had to go to my pediatrician once a week for 3 months. And you know what this man did? Peeled the scab off. Because it was healing on the outside, not on the inside. There are some of you who have confessed with your lips and you've believed in your heart and you've scabbed over, but your woundedness remains because you've never let Jesus Christ get to the core of your need. There is no wound so grievous, so deep, so vile, so devastating that God is not able to heal and make whole again. Does that make sense to you, gang? I don't care what's happened to you. I want you to hear it said loudly. God can heal you. And God will use what He's healing in you to bring healing and hope in someone else. Now, when I'm talking about healing, I'm not talking about those idiots who are on television. Who, in the name of Jesus, come on forward here and let's whoop you on the forehead. Yes, sir. No, I'm not talking about that bogus nonsense. I'm talking about the healing power of God that comes when you allow His grace and His mercy and His word to penetrate the depth of your wound. There is no amount of guilt or shame that God is not able to deliver from and declare free. Look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I'm reading again out of the Living Bible. It says this: for God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow. Now, let me put it in a different context. Let me interpolate it again. You're carrying guilt that you shouldn't be carrying. You're carrying woundedness you shouldn't carry. You've got sorrow and you've cried out to Jesus. What Jesus is shouting back to you is, You are forgiven. You weren't guilty. You were the victim. You weren't the culprit. Now let me set you free from that stinking thinking and set you free and make you whole so that your repentance turns to joy and your sorrow turns to laughter. That's what I think God would say to us. The second thing I want you to see is this. Again, the depth of God's grace is deeper than the deepest wound. Can you dig it? Can you grab hold of that? Can you hear what's being said? It's deeper than the deepest wound. And we're filled up with people that need to hear that, that need to know that, that need to receive that. The depth of God's healing, number next. The depth of God's healing and deliverance is many times a matter of choice. Now this is a hard part. Sometimes your healing of your woundedness of your past is in the power of your choosing. In John chapter 5, turn there very quickly if you would with me. John chapter 5. And you know what? This isn't a Western problem. Our church sponsors an orphanage in Cambodia where women who have tons of kids offer their children to our church for our orphanage and other orphanages, because if we won't take them and others won't take them, those children will be given to a life of prostitution or slave labor, and most of them will die of AIDS. And there is so much guilt and hopelessness. The man that started this in our church is a guy named Ken Armstrong. Ken Armstrong is one of the three highest ranking fire officials in the city of Denver. Ken's about this much taller, about this tall. He's a big man. And he goes to Cambodia and just weeps. Weeps at what he senses as the spiritual hopelessness. And yet he is compelled to go back two and three times a year to bring the love of Jesus Christ, which is their only hope. Dear friends, for your woundedness, it is yours. But I'm asking you to understand this. Abuse and woundedness is not a Western problem. It is a world problem. I was in Romania last summer, and I saw tons of children that were nothing but wounded garbage dumped to be left to rot. But by the grace of God, they were being healed. But with great sorrow, these people said, what so often happens is once they leave the orphanage and get back in the streets, they go back into the same dysfunction they left. The cycle continues because it wasn't broken by the power of God. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days, and inside the city near the sheep gate was the Pool of Bethesda. And five covered porches, crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on these porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Now, what we're about to read is a peculiar thing to me. When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, would you like to get well? Now, doesn't that seem like a stupid question? I mean, the dude had been down for 38 years, and Jesus asked him, would you like to be well? Now, I'm going to interpolate again. You know why I believe he did that and what the significance is for you and I? There are some of you here today, and Jesus is saying to you, would you not like to be healed? And you're saying to him in your behavior and by your choice, no, I'm afraid of wholeness. No, I'm afraid of what my family may do if I'm whole. No, I'm afraid. Because even in all of my pain and my woundedness, there's a security in my hurt. There's a security in my pain. Would you like to get well? There's a world of people out there who are just waiting for someone to ask them, would you like to get well? It's a matter of choice, even when the person believes they have no choice. See, maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, you know, I couldn't help what was done to me, and that's true. I couldn't stop what was done to me, and that's absolutely correct. But you can choose forgiveness. You can choose wholeness. You can choose freedom in Jesus. Do you understand the power that's in your grasp? Ladies and gentlemen, the world you're going into is a broken and fragmented world. It is a world that has been disrupted with pornography and immorality, divorce. It has been broken with all kinds of insidious things from drug and alcohol abuses at levels you and I won't even begin to comprehend. It is a sick and dying sin world. And God is sending you out into it to be His disciples, to be His ambassadors. But the mission means you've got to be a healer. But you can't heal if you're not healed. Will you choose healing? It's a matter of your choice. It's a choice of empowerment. It really is. The band I play in, we'll do a Bob Dylan song called You're Gonna Serve Somebody, but we do it like ZZ Top. And it's bum 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 bum. And it's really a grooving little song. And we sing You're Gonna Serve Somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And the bottom line is this, ladies and gentlemen, you have a choice to make in your life, just as those people that you're going to work with. And it's a choice of empowerment. We either empower the wound and the pain, the guilt and the shame and the past, and we empower that to stay in our lives, or we allow the power of God to make us whole. Does that make sense? You're either going to continue to empower the shame and the past and the guilt that continues to ride shod over your life, or you're going to say, Jesus, I empower you completely in my life. Make me whole. I want to be well. And you begin that journey. The choice cannot be made until the person is confident in the faithfulness and trustworthiness of God. And the trustworthiness and faithfulness of God's Word and God's love. Let me ask you a question here. Let's be candid and let's be really honest. How many of you have ever struggled with being perfectly honest with God? All right. Another question. How many of you have ever questioned God's faithfulness to you if He'd really be there for you? All right. And how many of you have ever questioned if God really, really could love you? This choice of empowerment is yours to give, but you have to give power to the belief, I believe that Jesus Christ... See, we live in a sectarian society, a pluralistic society. We live in what's called this postmodern world, which is bogus recycling of old things. But the bottom line is, we're saying any old road will work. Any old way will get you there. Dear friends, how many of you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God? I mean, not an option, the only way to God. Because if He's not, He's no way. You understand that, don't you? And so that's what separates you from your peers, because you believe in this absolute truth. If you acknowledge that, you must also come to the place that this absolute trust you put in Him is the only way. He's also the only one who can make you whole. He is the only one who is faithful and trustworthy. He's the only one who can set you free. Does that make sense, gang? If you can acknowledge He's the only way, the only access to God, He's the way, the truth, and life, and no other way to God but through Him. If you believe that, then believe He's competent. Believe He is trustworthy. Believe He is faithful to set you free from your woundedness and your sorrow and your guilt. And again, I want to make sure you understand this. It may be the guilt that the old creepy has dumped on you for things that were done to you. Maybe it's the guilt that you did things, but you've asked Jesus to forgive you of those things, and it continues to haunt you and haunt you and haunt you. A guy asked me last night, how have you dealt with your past? Well, I'll be honest. When I asked Jesus to forgive me, I believed that He did. And I just kind of walked around believing I'm forgiven. And you know where I get that wild idea? From 1 John 1:9. And I'm one of those weird temperaments that believes that's all I need. But I recognize there's many of you that you need more. But what you need more of is just the confirmation of His grace is sufficient for you. The depth of God's healing and deliverance is many times a matter of choice. What is your choice tonight? Can you begin the journey of healing? Can you begin the journey of wholeness? Can you begin the journey of liberty by making a choice of saying, God, I choose the liberty that comes from You. I choose You. Lastly, the third point is this. The point of healing and deliverance is discovered at the point of truth. The segue from what I just talked about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. If you're one of those persons that have tendencies of anger outbursts for no apparent reason, or inappropriate anger, or maybe you're a person who just pulls away and sulks and goes into solitude and you don't verbalize, and you just, I'm telling you, all that's revealing is that you've never let the healer heal. You've never let God bring resolve to your heart. And you're still like my cut leg was. You're a scab, but you're unhealed underneath in your heart. Oh, you're a Christian. You know the forgiveness of God. You're just not fleshing it out. You're just not walking in freedom. You're not walking that guilt-free living. You know, I want to tell you something. God wants you to walk a guilt-free life. But it comes down to the point of what you believe to be true. It again is a matter of choice. Who will you believe? And what will we believe? What we accept to be true will shape our future. How many of you have ever heard this little voice? Look what you did. How could God forgive you? Who do you think you are to come to God? Look at how dirty and filthy you are. God couldn't use you. Ever heard that voice before? Is that a true voice or a lie? True voice or a lie?
Lie.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I go back to the Passion again, I guarantee you, Mel Gibson understands the workings of the evil one. I believe from the Garden of Gethsemane to every time you'd see that personification of Satan walking, that person, that evil person, Satan, you knew that Mel Gibson understood sin. He understood Satan, and he understood temptation, and he understood the lies of the evil one, did he not? Some of you need to quit listening to the lies. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true or false? Well, I was molested as a child. I was raped as a child. I was beaten as a child. I was beat up. I was rejected. I was the cause of my family's failure. I am so guilty. Jesus said, I forgive you and cleanse you and make you white as snow. As far as the east is from the west, so far do I remove your iniquities from you. Is that true or is that false? You see, your healing begins the moment you stand on what is true. It may take your heart and your emotions weeks and months and sometimes years to get in line. But it begins the moment you begin to understand what is going to be true for you. Will you stand on that which is true? We must aid that person. Now, I'm assuming you accept your healing. And now as a healer, one committed to winning, one committed to healing, you must help that person discover God's absolute truth. Has God ever lied to you? And honestly, let me ask you this. Has God ever failed you truthfully? I mean, all of us had laid out ridiculous expectations. Have you ever done that? You know, you had this really, God, she's such a babe. And if you'll just have her say yes on the date, I'll believe you really love me and that you're my Lord and Savior. And I'm not talking about that kind of nonsense. I'm coming when you come to the place where you recognize, God, I may not understand it. You know, I'll be honest with you. Dr. Tomlinson, and I say this in all sincerity, his IQ is so far off the charts compared to mine. And I praise God for guys of depth like that. I'm just not one of them. I'm a guy, when I read it and it says you were a brand new creature, I just looked in the mirror and said, I'm new. When it said you're forgiven, I'm forgiven. When it said that I'm supposed to be like Jesus, I'm figuring out how I'm supposed to be like Jesus. And the only place I figure I get that is when I read the Gospels about Jesus. I'm just kind of simple. And I like things that way. I live in a complex world, but my God sure smooths out the waves for me. As I, in a simple, childlike way, just believe His Word to be true. We must aid people in discovering God's absolute truth. We must therefore show them that what He says He will do, because He did it in you, and He did it in me, because He says what He does, and He does what He does. He says and does what He says He will do. God never lies. If God says He will set you free, what will He do? If he says he'll make you whole, what would he do? If he says he will forgive you, what will he do? Dear friend, walk in it. And when you're helping those who are in that same place, give it to them also. We must be willing to walk step by step. The people I work with, I wish I could work with disciples that hadn't been through divorces. I wish I didn't work with crack addicts that are now fanatics for Jesus. I wish I didn't work with girls and guys. And I don't work with girls. I work with couples or in a group of people. I wish I worked with people that didn't come from damaged relationships. But that's my world. And that's your world. Your campus is filled with damaged, broken people. Every time I see a feminist, I see a wounded female that was branded and scarred by some ruthless dude. And that's why she's so mean and so angry. Every time I see some prideful, arrogant guy, I see some guy that's wearing this mask to cover up his gross insecurity because of the deep inadequacy in his own life. And the only one I know who can set him free is Jesus. When I was on the streets of Red River last summer passing out Bibles and tracts to the bikers, I'd see these women, and some of them were beautiful women, but their eyes were dead. And they're following these dudes just covered in tattoos, and I don't got nothing against tattoos, but I mean, they didn't have any space to color. I mean, they were just covered in tattoos. They had rings that I didn't think you could put rings. It just kind of made me, look at it. And these big old strong guys would go out here, and these women, these hollow-eyed, empty women, I would hand them a Bible and say, let me give you a book about a man who will love you and not leave you in the morning. Let me give you a book about a love story about a man who will leave you, but he'll never use you and never abuse you. And these women, almost every time I'd say that, they'd almost always stop and turn around and reach back. And they're a tough stud guy. Woman, get over here. Of course, he's walking out in the streets because he doesn't want to be near us Jesus people passing out Bibles. He might catch something. Like manhood. We must be willing to walk step by step with the new brother or the new sister. You see, if you accept this mission, you must understand something. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be neat, and it's not going to come in nice packages. And you may not be able to check off all the boxes anymore with the guy you're working with. Because sometimes before you can get him to memorize his first verse, you've got to get him to understand the depth of God's grace. But don't abandon him. Don't give up on him. Love him. Now, if he's just lazy, kick his spiritual duff and tell him you'll meet with him later when he's ready to grow up. Know the difference between lazy and woundedness. We cannot make them choose it. We cannot make them walk in it. Nor can we lead a person to spiritual wholeness if we're in need of healing ourselves. You can't take some person where you've never been. I can only take you guys places I've gone to. But it's been a trip. But I can tell you that God forgives completely. God's grace is sufficient for every wound you will ever have. God's grace is greater than your greatest grief, your greatest heartache, your greatest sorrow, your greatest shame. And Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to make you whole. Ladies and gentlemen, the challenge, the mission, the assignment, if you should take it, is impossible without Jesus. Is impossible without the Holy Spirit, is impossible without the Word of God. But should you accept this mission, not only are you to win those who are lost, who are dying without hope, you are to be a healer of the broken, a healer to the wounded, a carer for the needy, and give your life to such. For such as these did Jesus come to save. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Is there anybody here that would say, Mike, where I'm at is this. I struggle with my own need for healing. I struggle with my own woundedness. I struggle with my own shame. I struggle with my own pain. And I struggle with my past and the guilt. Maybe you're a victim. Maybe you're the one who victimized. But both of you have come to Jesus and been asked for forgiveness, but both of you are struggling with the same pain, the same shame, the same guilt. And that's your defeat. And oh, creepy defeats you with that regularly. Satan's got you buying the lie, and he beats you up with it. And you feel inadequate, unworthy, undeserving. If that's you, would you lift your hand and put it down? Anybody? Amen. Hands all over the place. Anyone else? Amen. That's many of us. I want us to pray a prayer of beginning tonight. You see, healing may take a long time. That's why brothers like Dick are so valuable to the kingdom of God and others who invest in the lives of wholeness in people. But I want us to begin the journey of accepting God's Word as the foundation of truth on which we will build our lives. And accept in truth that grace is sufficient for my every need. And accept in truth that God's forgiveness is greater than my sin and His grace is greater than my wound. And I'm going to begin tonight that healing that God wants to give me. I want to be free. If you lifted your hand and you want to begin tonight, I want you to pray out loud with me right now together. And this is just a beginning. Not a cheap conclusion, but a beginning step. But if you want to begin the journey of wholeness, so you can be a healer in the mission for which you've been sent out, pray with me tonight. Oh Jesus. Pray it out loud with me. Oh Jesus. I know You're my Savior and Lord. I believe Your Word is truth. I stand on that truth tonight. I stand on Your truth against my shame. I stand on Your truth against my guilt. I stand on Your truth against my sinfulness. I confess You. I acknowledge my need for Your grace. And I accept Your grace as sufficient. Release Your grace upon my woundedness right now. Release Your grace upon my pain. Release Your grace upon my guilt. And I claim, Lord God, that Your grace is sufficient for me. Make me whole. Set me free. In faith, I believe. In faith, I choose liberty. In faith, I accept this mission to be a healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Your task is the same as I mentioned at the beginning. To look at Scripture. To consider what I've shared tonight. And if what I'm sharing is truth, then walk in it. If it's just my opinion, put it on the shelf with every other man's opinion and disregard it. But if what I'm sharing is the truth of God, if He really wants to set us free, if He really wants to release us from guilt, if He really wants to free us from shame and the agony of the heartbreak of our pasts and give us a bright and wholesome future, then walk in it, dear friend. If the Son of Man has set you free, you shall be free indeed.